So Happy New Year. Man, it's good to see you guys. I'm going to talk the next at least three, probably 4 weeks on vision. But I want you to do something. I want you to think about that a friend has asked you to go on vacation with them, okay? The friend has asked you to go on vacation, and they're your best friend, and they are telling you you're in charge of that vacation. Now, do you decide everything about that vacation? Do you decide what they're gonna when they're gonna go, or do you just or do you partner with them and think what would they like to do on that vacation, or do you just plan the vacation that you want and forget your friend wanted to go on the vacation with you and you just plan it and you force them to go with you? Or do you just, they say, hey, I can go on vacation March 3rd through March 27th. And then you say, that's awesome. I would love to go with you. And they're like, can you help me with it? Can you plan it? You're like, yes, I can. And March 3rd shows up and you go to pick them up and you're like, they're like, where are we going? They're like, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. But you just go to the airport. You just start driving. You just get on a train. You would never do that, right? You would have a plan. And what happens is Christians, we have the sovereignty of God idea that God is planning everything for us exactly that we don't need to plan. So I'm going to keep going on this analogy. So think about that. Wouldn't you ask your friend, do you want to go to the mountains or do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to go to the desert or do you want to go to a big city? You'd ask him that probably, right? There's a difference in where you want to go. Do you want to go on a train? Do you want to go on a cruise? Do you want to drive? Do you want to fly? Right? Do you want to stay in the United States of America? Do you want to go to Latin America? Do you want to go to Asia or do you want to go to Europe? There's all these things you would ask him, right, as a friend and as a partner, correct? Some of you are going like, I don't know if I would. If they're giving me money to plan a vacation, I might just go on my own. They would just have to suffer. But we have this idea that we're traveling with God and God is dictating every moment for us, everything. That he's telling us everything. And he's not. He's our friend. He's our father. He wants to take us places and go with us. And yes, he puts you here in 2019. You have no control over 2019. You have no control over your age right now, of what year you were born. Okay? Right? You know that, right? You don't have a ton of control over your talents as a human being of how you give life. You have a lot of allowance, though, how you live in this 80 or 90 years. You have a lot of decisions you get to make that you're partnering with the Lord. So vision and goal setting is saying, I understand the heart of my Father, and he genuinely wants me to have a great journey while here on earth. He's not dictating, you must go to the mountains, but God, I love the beach. No, you must go. I love the mountains. You have to go with me. You have no choice. So therefore, that kind of friend, would you want to travel with that friend that dictated everywhere you go? How many of you love to go to museums? You'd like to see 3 days of museums. That's about right. 1.5 out of 25 or 20. That's about right. So if you had a friend that wanted to do museums, wouldn't you want to go and be with them in those museums, even if that wasn't your preferred place? But if you were traveling with a friend that didn't like museums, you would understand if you went to museums sometimes with them, but didn't go to museums the whole 3 times. I made a mistake and took Victoria to D.C. and planned like 6 days of monument viewing and museums and stuff like that. It only took me a day. It didn't take me very long, a day and a half. Now, I probably would have told Zeke, stuff it up, be a man, we're on vacation, do this, we're in, you know, see the monuments. With Victoria, I'm like, here's some money, go down to the basement where they have all the virtual reality rides, and in 35 minutes, meet me in the gift shop. So she got to roam around, I got to go see my favorite things on each exhibit and stuff like that, and then I let her do a lot of her own stuff. But God is like that. He's partnering with us. He's not forcing upon us things to do. He's asking us so much, what do you want to do? You know, our son's 29, and we went on last Thanksgiving a year ago. We went on vacation with him, and they were like, we want to go skiing. Do you want to go with us to Colorado? We went with them to Colorado. We vacationed together in Colorado based on that we wanted to go there, not that we were forced to go there. There's so many things that we, so when we say, God, I want this, he's like, yeah, I want that for you too. How many of you want world peace? How many of you want every kid to wake up in a home that they're loved and taken care of? We do. We all want that. But whoa, we can't know because God didn't tell us if that's for us to want. Right? God has to tell us. God has to be in control of everything. Vision and goal setting is saying, I want every kid to wake up in a house that's loved, but then how will I live my life so that I can help people, I can help kids wake up and feel that way? What can I do to bring peace to the world around me? God's not dictating to us, you have to do this and this and this. He's actually planning with us, not always for us. So when we're, can you guys get that? Yeah, like that makes sense? He's planning with us. God is planning with us. God likes being with us. Do you think that God cares if you're a mechanic or a doctor or a pilot or a forestry major? I don't think God cares. There are some people have distinct calls on their life that they do this. And those are the guys we usually highlight in the Bible. Most of us are not those people. Most of us have, we make these choices and God is in these choices. God is in these choices we make. But you can't be passive and release yourself from, I'll just let God do whatever he wants in 2019. Because he's saying, I want to partner with you. I want to hear from your mouth. What do you want 2019 to look like this year? What do you want? What do you want 2019 to look like this year? Does anybody here at December 31st, New Year's Eve party, want to have less money than they do right now? Does anybody here want to have a worse job? Does anybody here want to be 30 pounds heavier? Does anybody here want to be a year older? No, that's something we don't have control over. Think about that, though. We all have, and that's a vision that you have. You have a vision of what you don't want. You don't want your marriage to be worse in 355 days, do you? You're not looking for your relationship with your kids or your friends to be worse at the end of this year, are you? You're not looking to be more afraid or less assured of who you are in Christ, are you? That's a vision that we have based on a negative. But if we're living an abundant life, isn't there a vision we would have of ourselves of where we're killing it going into this year and ending this year? Maybe there's two or three areas. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your ministry. Maybe it's a sense that you have something that God really wants you to do, but you haven't put plans or goals or vision to it. You haven't spoken anything out of, I want this. It's powerful when we say, I want this, but it's also scary to say, I want this. So vision is super proactive. Vision and goal setting is one of the most powerful ways for you to say, I am a person of faith. Saying God will do whatever he does this year is not being a person of faith, because faith without action is dead, right? So action without faith is dead. Faith without action is dead. So we need the both of them together. Vision and goals say, these are the things I'm going to do to step into the life I believe God is calling me into this next year, what he wants to give me. Do you have a sense of anything God wants to do in and through you this next year? If you do, set goals towards it. Write it down. Write that vision down. God wants to release this off of my life this year. And then struggle towards it. We fight towards it. But otherwise, it's just, I'm just in a boat being floated back and forth on the seas of indecision. I don't know what to do. I don't know when to put my sail up or when to take it down. I don't know what to put my rudder. I don't know where to put my, what's the thing about that goes into the water that keeps you from? It's not the anchor. It's not the buoy. It's not, the rudder's back here. The rudder's back here. Most of us don't know. There's actually, on big ships, there's that big, it's a keel. It goes right down in here. On a small boat like I grew up on, they called them a little sunfish. You had a little boat, and you had actually a wooden paddle about this, a wooden keel, and you'd actually pull it up when you were going straight with the wind, and wind was pushing you that way. But then when you had to tack back and forth, you had to put that thing down. Otherwise, your little round boat, your little weak boat would flip right over. You had to have that in the water to... So we have those things. When we're going towards something, we need to know where things are set. So do you have goals? You have goals. Goals say, this is what I'm going to do with my time this year. This is what I'm going to do with my finances this year. This is how I'm going to bolster my marriage this year and the love and the affection and the intimacy in my relationships this year. I can hear it now. Every time I talk about vision or goals, people are like, oh, goals don't work. I had them. Well, I was sharing with somebody this week, this is my fifth year. This year, 2019, my fifth year to want to lose just over 40 pounds, almost 50 pounds. Now, just in the last 5-6 months, I've lost 20 pounds. But basically, I have failed for 4 years in a row. Failure, 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 failure. But what vision says, I'm going to keep going towards this thing that I believe is right. Because my vision is not to be a certain weight. My vision is to be healthy. All right? My vision isn't to look good when I go out for dinner. My vision is to be long-term with my children and my grandchildren. And my weight is bad for my hips and my knees and my heart and my feet. So my vision goes beyond my weight. And then when I have this vision of myself in my future, then what I do, I set some goals. And one of those goals is to lose weight, has been to lose weight. And it has been one of the most frustrating goals I've ever set. Some of us have financial goals, whether you don't have enough, you have just enough, you have more than enough. We should have goals of our finances because it is not right. Okay, it's going to sound even worse. It's selfish to say, I just want enough just for me. Because if we're living in abundance and overflow, I'm always wanting to have enough to give over, to be able to give to people. So in my heart, when God speaks on my heart, I'm able to provide for somebody that I wouldn't be able to provide for if I only had enough for myself. Vision, that's a vision. How many of you want to give more to people who are in need? We do. So we can either say, I'm going to like scrimp and save and give more. Or we can say, you know what, God, I need you to help me think through how to be better with my money and how to make more money in my life. And that those are good visions that we have. Now, man, the first of the year is a great time to think about goals because you have a new 365 days. You have a new 8,760 hours. I think that's what it is. 8,760 hours, and you've already used like 140 of them. Are you happy with how you use your 140 hours? Because you have 8,760, you've used 104. You've used whatever 24 times today is 6 is 146 hours. I don't know, but are you happy with that? And if you continue to use your 146 hours every 7 days, like you have this first 7 days, will you be where you want to be at the end of this year? Will you be the employee you want to be? Will you be the boss you want to be? Will you be the person you want to be? Will you have the same mindset? If you showed up at Christmas parties and you didn't like how you showed up. You were like showed up afraid. You showed up, I hope people talk to me. You weren't outgoing. You were like all inward to yourself. Are you going to do that the same thing next year? Or are you going to allow God to show you some vision for yourself and say, I can show up differently next year. And then you're going to work on some goals to get there. So in 8,760 hours, you're a different person. Does that make sense? And the goals are yours. I don't know that God's telling you exactly what he wants. There's basically 7 areas that we can set goals in, and one is health, wealth, finances, job, your mind and your emotions, spiritually, and then I can't remember the 7th, but if you just took 2 or 3 of those, you say, what do I tell people I think God is doing in the world? What do I think God is doing and God wants to do? What if I apply them to myself, quit applying them to all the world around me and apply them to myself and begin to set some goals in those areas? You say, man, I just, so and such and such is so demonic. Well, what are you doing about the demonic around you that you live with every day? Well, I just think we need more prayer for Israel or more prayer for healing. Well, what are you doing this year, 2019, to set up a path to some goals, some steps to move in that you're praying for more people to be healed and seeing more people be healed? How are you using your talent, your time, your energy, your words, your finances to move in towards who you think you're created to be? You think, I mean, really, really. I want my boss to be this way, but what about saying, I'm going to start acting like I want my boss to act. I want my president to be this way, but I'm going to start acting for me to be this way and not ask my president to be a certain way. What if we started asking for ourselves, what are the goals for me? And if you deal with fear, anxiety, if you deal with things that, like, I don't have any gift, I don't have any talents, people won't listen to me, I don't have anything to give, then start getting a vision of how you're fearfully and wonderfully made and start putting some time and energy towards becoming that person. Now, working out and writing down goals are spiritually important. They're not just practically important. They're super spiritually important. I'm going to tell you four reasons why they're important. I might not get to the fourth reason. The third and fourth reason are very similar. I mean, they're the counterpart of each other. When they're juxtaposed side by side, they work out really well. But the first reason why they're spiritually important is goals create life clarity. How can we quote that scripture all the time? You know what fearfully and wonderfully made? It means I'm uniquely designed. I was created on purpose. My purpose isn't generalized, I'll give God glory. How will you give God glory? How will 56-year-old Les Heron, living in Tomball, Texas, give God glory? That goes for each of you. How will you, Monday through Friday, give God glory? How will you Saturday morning in your neighborhood, if you work Monday through Friday, show up? How do I give God glory? That's what goal setting does. This is how I will give God glory with my finances. This is how I will give God glory with my mouth. Some of us can have a goal. I will speak less negatively and learn to speak God's promises instead of negative. That would be a goal that would get you to a vision to glorifying God with your mouth. Others need to say, I will speak up and quit being afraid of giving God glory with my mouth. I will speak up and I will be positive. I will say, I pray for them. I hope for them. I'll be hopeful. So there's not one size fits all. We all have these different things, but it gives us clarity. Clarity, clarity, clarity. I mean, if I ask you again where you're going on vacation, you will have some idea where you want to go. You will have some idea of what kind of hotel you want to be at. And reality might set in. You might go, oh, I can't fly or I can't have that hotel I want. You know, when we're envisioning, we're taking what God is saying and we're getting clear. Life clarity is real important. So you just celebrated New Year's Eve. I hope you had a great New Year's Eve night and day and all that time. But ask yourself, in 2018, was that my 10th year to live, or did I live the same year 10 times over and over again? Are you going to live this year the same as last year? This is the problem. We all get older, don't we? Maybe you haven't noticed that. We all get older, but what happens, we're like 21, and then from 21 to 30, we're like 31. That's 10 years, or from 55 to 65, or 45 to 55. It's like 10-year period, but most of the time, we've lived the same year over and over and over and over again. And the older we get, the harder it becomes for us to get out of that rut. And so goals and vision help bump against that I'm going to live the life exactly the same way as last year. But we're agents of change. We're transformative people. We're people that we're a new creation, completely transformed, and then our body and our soul is in transformation process. All right, and we engage in that process. You and I engage in that process, and we do it best when we're clear on who God made me to be. What is He making me to be? Clarity. I want you to get a picture of clarity as the clear, lucid, easy to understand. It's free from ambiguity. It's free from I don't know. All right? It's transparent. People are able to look at you and say, he's living his life for the Lord. She's living her life to get this done in her life. Think about the age that you're at. If you're 50 or older, you're looking at legacy now. You're looking it in the eye that unless we are praying, unless we are living life clearer and clearer and clearer, we're gone. We're gone. And we're gone fast. All right? And the thing is that when you get into your 50s, you usually have more. You're okay. You're being taken care of. You're not doing big stupid things. But you're still living in a grave. I heard the other day that that a rut is just a grave with both sides kicked out. And so we got to get out of that rut. Clarity, vision helps us get out of that rut and start on a new way. A new way of treating people, a new way of thinking about people. It'll change everything in our life. So here's scripture, Colossians 4:6 in the Passion Translation, Colossians 4:6. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and with clarity. For then, when your speech is drenched with truth and with clarity, you'll be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks you about your faith. Clarity is important. Clarity starts something in us. Now, if I ask you, what are you doing this week? The majority of you would be able to tell me for 40 or 50 hours, I'm doing this sort of work for my employer. If I asked you, where are you going on vacation this year? You would be able to tell me, I'm going to go on vacation for 7 days somewhere in just general area. If I say, what are you going to do with your money this year? Most of you would be able to say, Uncle Sam is taking this. I'm not giving it to him. He's taking this. I'm going to give some financial giving here, and then I'm going to give my housing and lodging and my entertainment. And you would be able to give some idea of where's all that going. If I asked you, where are you going to this next Saturday? You would say, I'm going to a football game. I'm going to a wedding. I'm going to a funeral. I'm going to those things. We know in advance, faithfully plan our day and our month and our year based on our job and the IRS and the mortgage company, but we don't faithfully plan our future and our year based on what our desires and our hearts are. Why is that? We're more prone to serve our boss than we are our father. And so vision and goal setting like rubs against you. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's right. It's a good, right, godly thing to do. It's a spiritual thing to set a goal just to say, if you just say, I want to make $5,000 more this year in 2019. I want to lose 28 pounds. If you just say that with nothing else, you're making a statement. I'm clear. This is what I want for this year. I want to be a better friend, and a better friend looks like this. It makes a difference. I want to be less aggressive communicator. And then what does that look like? And then you can make steps towards that. But just saying it, writing it down, seeing it every day makes a big difference. If you said every day, I want to experience the presence of God in a deeper way between now and the end of the year, do you think it would happen or it wouldn't happen? This is the thing. It doesn't matter if it does or doesn't. Setting a goal gives you something. It gives you a focus. It gives you a clarity. Do you think if you pursued God for the next 358 days that are left in this year, 358 days are left for this year, do you think you could be ever fell at that, even if you only did it half the time? Even if you never had a mind-blowing go-to-heaven experience? You would be a different person just because you made a commitment to pursue something, a relationship deeper than you've ever known. You would be different. You would win, even if everything technically would say you had lost because you didn't do it every day. That's why I'm looking at this fast for 21 days. I pretty much know I'm going to fail it. I pretty much know I've never done it. But you know what? I don't project and have goals in my life based on what I've ever been successful at. I would have never got married. I'd never been married when I got married. I would never have a kid. I would never take the second job. I would still be working. My first job outside the house was working on a farm when I turned 13. I would still be working on a farm. That's what I would be doing if I said I could only have in my future what I've already had. But we get older, we say, I can only have the relationship I've already had. I know how my husband, my wife is going to respond. I'm not even going to try. Don't even want it. Vision and goal gets clear on who I am, who I'm going to be. When you goal set for you, you goal set for you, for your life. You don't goal set for your spouse. I wish my spouse would be better at blank, blank, blank. I wish they would stop doing that. That is not a goal. That's a control list, okay? It's for you. It's for you. And by the way, this is the only life you're ever going to have. You don't get another life. We're supposed to be full of hope and excitement and energy about this life. And goal setting is a way to say, this is what I think the Lord is doing. I'm going to put my passion towards that. So the second one, I kind of mentioned in the first one, but goals give life action. Goals test and prove your faith. Did you know your faith needed to be proved? Your faith needs to be released and proven. When you laid your hand on a person today, your faith was tested because you laid hands on it. Your faith was proven because you laid hands on them, not because they got healed. Jesus didn't tell you to heal somebody. He said, lay hands on them and they will be healed. He does that part. We do. There's our part. Your faith is tested. So goals are saying, what a great goal to be saying, you know what? Every Sunday that I go to church, every time I know somebody's sick, I'm going to be the first one up there putting my hand on them. In fact, I'm going to carry oil in my pocket. So every time anybody complains about anything, I'm going to say, can I pray for you right here and right now? Wouldn't that be a great, great goal? Anybody that comes and starts complaining, I had this conversation multiple times. Anybody starts complaining, you get on your phone, you give them 10 minutes. Then after 10 minutes, you're like, okay, stop complaining. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to ask God to release you from that fear. I'm going to ask God to release you from that anger. I'm going to ask God to release you from that bitterness. Instead, we're good friends and we listen for hours at a time, week after week. That's our goal is, I don't want to hurt their feelings. That's my vision. I'll be a nice person. What about if we had a vision? I'll be a dynamic Christian, Bible-believing, what do they call it? Bible-believing, fire-breathing, faith-filled believer. There'll be something about me that, man, when people around me start complaining, I will get a sense of what's going on in heaven, and I'll lay hands on them. You know, one of these things that we have is we have a lot of barriers, and I did a funny little video that I'll show next Sunday about all the reasons why we don't have goals or don't pursue our dreams and stuff like that. But a big one is I'm just not that person, or I just don't have the time. And the truth is, historically, you've never had more time since the Garden of Eden. You never have. Ever, ever, ever. None of you are washing your clothes by going down to the river. I was sharing part of this message with my mother-in-law the other day, and she's like, I remember we as kids we'd get so excited because they would get the mule and they would hook up the kettle and they would drag it down to the river. You'd put water in and you'd start a fire, and that's how they would do clothes because all day was clothes day. None of you are scrubbing on that thing, all right? None of us are gardening for our vegetables. None of us are going out getting eggs. We have so much time in our lives right now. We have so much time, and we're meant to have a lot more energy since we have a lot more time. But what we do, we get our minds busy and attached to unimportant things that are not of His kingdom. So we have tons of time. Faith says, I know God speaks to me. In 2019, I want these three things to change, and then I am going to start every day or every week moving towards these things that are good, these things that will be a blessing to me, to my family, and those around me. And we begin to move towards those things. And what happens? Oh, I'm moving forward to point four. So hold on a second. So second one, I'm going to be brief. Goals give life action. They test and prove your faith. It is super important. Super important. We test and prove our faith. And by the way, goals and vision for our life means I'll stop reacting to the world around me. I will start acting. As Christians, I act a certain way. I don't react to what you say. I don't react. I act this way. You say something bad about me, I don't react to you. I act in the way that I made a choice to act in before this year started. So you begin to act. You don't react to problems. You act in the middle of problems. You act. You're always acting. Goals and vision allow us to be acting. Acting, not reacting, not responding based on something. Otherwise, I'm a victim to everything around me. It's amazing what you see about everybody being offended about so much. I mean, the Baby It's Cold Outside song, somebody reacted to that. A radio station took it off the air. And then a radio station in Mississippi or Alabama played it for like 3 days straight. I thought that was, but don't get lost in the Baby It's Cold Outside song, whatever you think about that. I want you to focus on what happens to you that you're always telling yourself, I'm too tired, I'm too poor, I don't have enough time. to walk towards what I think God is doing. What we're saying is, if I had more time, I wouldn't be disobedient to the Lord's design of me. If I had nicer people around me, I would be nicer. And we've heard that in the media recently. You know, this third one is goals create proper boundaries. There's a phrase I use a lot when I'm talking to people about action points and how they're going to spend their day is that it's a river without banks is a swamp. A river without banks is a swamp. And goals, vision, to predetermine in advance what my boundaries are. Now, we talked about some boundaries. It's 2019. You can't get out of 2019 for another 8,700-something hours, okay? You can't do it, even if you work really hard. You can't get out of 2019. You can't get out of the color of your skin. You can't get out of your age. You can't get out of your height. You can't do, there's things that are set right there. But the boundaries, when you start choosing boundaries, you choose boundaries. I will do this every day. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to set, and that's a boundary. So there, that means I can't sleep in every day. I can't stay up the night before. I have to maybe change how I go to sleep. Maybe I have to have my phone right here. Not my phone. Maybe I have to have my Bible right here and my phone over there. So I have to get up and get my Bible first and turn on the light. So you create a boundary here. You create a boundary here. I will stop being around this type of person, which is an awesome boundary. Or I'll be around these people the majority of my time. You create boundaries. And then what happens? The junk starts going on the outside of your boundaries and you start getting purer water. Who wants to build on a swamp? You don't go river rafting on a swamp. You go river rafting in the Colorado River, which is all hard side rivers. You don't go up a San Jacinto River. It's all soft side. It's always moving. It's always caving in, right? Have you guys been up there? Some of our rivers in Texas are just, they're muddy rivers. In fact, I went to San Jacinto when I first moved here. I was like 18 or 19. My parents went to St. Paul Methodist Church, the real big old one down on Main Street, for, I don't know, a year or two. One of their friends there had two kids my age. Said, we're going to go water skiing. I'm like, that's awesome. I've never been, but we went on San Jacinto River. I thought, that's weird that we're on a river. Well, you know, we went knee boarding, actually. They're like, okay, well, don't get over here. If you're going to have to let loose over here, because over here there's alligators along the river. I'm like, what? Welcome to Texas. You know, so there's that, but we want good, clear water, right? We don't want our life to be a swamp. We don't want to look back with no definition on 2018 or 2019. Creating vision says, this is what I'm believing God will do, and I believe so much I'll be willing to write it down and think about it and move towards it. It creates some boundaries. And the boundaries that you choose are super powerful. The boundaries, a budget is a boundary. A calendar is a boundary. Studying is a boundary. Adhering to scriptural principles is a boundary. And if we're following these boundaries, our lives are going to produce more. And even if they don't produce more of what we're aiming for, they will produce more in here, which will eventually always produce more. There's a hidden kingdom in here that when I begin to put boundaries around guarding it, protecting it, and highlighting it and rising it up, it will change my life around me. And I'm gonna need to end right there. And I want to end with... where do I want to end? So in Joshua 1, the very first part of Joshua 1, they're standing on the Jordan River. They're overlooking their promised land. This is what God says to Joshua. Moses is dead. And I love how the Lord, he's not like touchy-feely like we think he is, especially not to Joshua. It's like Moses is dead. So when we look at 2018 is dead. It doesn't have to have any bearing on how you live your life in 2019. He has all the bearing, and your faith connected to that can radically transform 2019 if you keep looking back. But this is what goals and vision will do. It will give you some boundaries. Say, this is my promise. These are my promises. I'm going to pursue them. So right after that, Moses is dead. And then the Lord gives him boundaries. He says to the north is this, to the south is this, to the east is this. They're geographical boundaries. And we have geographical boundaries, but we also have technical boundaries. We have personality boundaries. We have familial boundaries that we have. But we should live all the way out to those boundaries. I have a 12-year-old and 29-year-old. I should be as full as I can a dad all the way out to those boundaries. All the way out to those boundaries. There are different boundaries for 12-year-old and 29-year-old. We count up my nieces and nephews and great nieces and some great great niece I have, and they're like 30 something. And all of them don't live here, but I expand myself out on every way I can, whether it's on Facebook or instant message or prayer. I expand myself out to live this life. It's my life to live. I want to live it all the way out. Where I'm talented, what I have in my life to give, live it all the way out. And that's the challenge with vision and goal setting is you have a dream, you have a desire, and you put it out there and you write a vision statement. I want to be more blank is a vision statement when it's specific. I feel like God's doing this as a dream. It's a use of your imagination. It's taking the dream, it's putting it down to a vision statement, and then here's the steps I'll take in 2019 to get there, all right? So here, I'm going to end with a real good, since travel's been the theme, because I hope you all are planning a vacation already and thinking where you want to go and putting some steps towards it. And you can say, I didn't get to take one last year. I've never taken one ever before in my life. But that doesn't determine what you get this year. And what if you were guaranteed, if you dreamed about it and put it on your calendar every year, that one year you would get that vacation? Wouldn't it be worth it? Because you're using all your thoughts and your energies and your imagination for negative things. Why not vision and goal setting? I'm going to use my imagination for godly things. All right, so this is what a dream feels like. I want to go on a dream vacation. Who wants to go on a dream vacation? Boom. Most of us. A couple of you don't want to travel. I know one person that doesn't want to travel. I've got a buddy who says, I don't see any reason to ever go outside of Texas. He's been to two places outside. He has zero desire to ever travel, ever. But we're not that group. We want to go all over the place. So that's a dream. I want to go on a dream vacation. But when you start putting in vision, you say, I want to go to, who wants to go someplace fabulous? Tell me where you want to go. Say a name of a place you want to go. Spain. Ah, good one. I want to go to Spain. So I want to go to, and there's a blank. I have a dream vacation. That's your dream. Your vision is I want to go to Spain. I want to go to Spain in 2020. All right. I want to take Barbara, Les, Cresha, and Victoria with me. Hold on. And Ginger and Angela. And I want to bless them and pay their entire way first class, okay? That's why you got to have your own vision. You can't let anybody else write your vision. So Barbara and Herman. So the thing is, that's the beginning of your vision. That's your vision. This is what I want to do. But now the goals are, hey, I need to, my passport is out of date. I need to get a passport. I need to check out a cost. I need to write a budget. I need to get time off of work. I need to make sure Les gets his shots in case Les bites me. No, I'm kidding. It was a joke. But see how that works? And then you're working your job, your 40-hour week and your paycheck. It's translated into something. And that's when we give financially. It's a goal. We're like spreading the gospel when we give. We're doing something. We're feeding the hungry. We're taking care of orphans. We're providing things that ourselves can't do, but our finances can do. Your finances should be working for you. Your calendar should look like exciting things to come. Not exciting for everybody in the room, but exciting for you. If somebody said you could go see the Super Bowl, I'd be, that's all right, but that wouldn't be like, woo. I mean, that would be okay. I would do it. I would take it if you're going to give me tickets. But for me, I would way better. If you said I get to go to Disney World, I'd be like, please take anybody else besides me. But other people like love Disney World. They think I'm crazy that I don't like Disney World. The last time I went, I didn't go. I dropped the girls off at the front door for 2 days. I didn't even go. I just dropped them off. I can't stand Disney World. Right. So the point is, your dream is your dream. Your vision is your vision. It looks different for you. It looks different for you. And be willing, be bold enough, be courageous enough, like the Israelites were, said, I'm going to step over into a promised life. Here's my boundaries that I have. All right? All right, go ahead and stand up. We're going to end on a boo. Boo, you don't like Disney World. Boo. Boo, here's the bad thing. I went to a timeshare thing to go to Universal. I got discounted tickets that were still $500 for one day for the three of us. So my ticket's like over $150 for a day. I rode two rides. I barely got through the second ride, and it was just a virtual reality ride. But I'm like, whoa, we got slung past the moon. I was like, still like walking out there like this because I get all rattled. But it's just, it's not my dream to do those things. All right, so put your hand on your neighbor. And I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing and vision. So just agree with me for you and for your neighbor. So, Father God, we thank you that you are a God, a dreaming God, a visionary God, a goal-setting God, that you dreamed us up in your heart, that you loved us and desired us. You had a vision of us. You had a vision of each person here, red, yellow, black, and white, oldest to youngest, most spiritual to least spiritual, every personality that's represented right here. You had a dream of us, and you set a goal. You set a goal to have us living, celebrating, living in abundance. God, and we thank you for that. And we say we want to be in the ways we're meant to be like you. We want to be dreamers and visionaries and goal setter in very spiritual ways, yet deeply pragmatic ways, Father God. And we just thank you for the gifting of the person on our right and our left, that you would literally invade their nighttime dreams, that you would sharpen their imagination, that they would get clear on who they were created to be, they would get clear on what their language is, what their word is, how they speak. They'd be clear of how they're a gift to the body of Christ, how they're a gift given to their family, and how they're a gift given to this world. That, Father, to the person to the left, to our right, and to ourselves, that we would know without a doubt that we are called, that we are loved, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're awesome and unique, and that we're meant to be here. We're meant to be showing up. We're meant to be louder than we actually are, living louder, living brighter, living more beautiful lives, Father God. Help us to use our imagination and help us to use the practical tools of visioning and goal setting to move further and deeper into our promised life, to overtake the land. Yes, there's giants. Yes, there's vegetations. Yes, there's the demonic. All the Israelites knew that, but we in Jesus' name will overcome all of that. We'll settle in for the legacy of our children, our children's children, and beyond that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.